When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank & Trust. He joins us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour, and we appreciate same. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to be with you.
So we finally got the cut by the Fed, 50 basis points instead of 25, which is the norm. Why do you think 50?
I think the Fed was a bit nervous about the direction of the economy. One of the things that Chairman Powell has often said is that Fed rate moves are accompanied by uncertain lags and unpredictable lags. So you don't know how quickly you need to move and how much you need to move in order to prevent a bad outcome. And what he said in his meeting in Jackson Hole is that he felt there was more risk of unemployment than there is of continued inflation. And he may well be right. We have several things that are pushing unemployment. Our auto manufacturers are slowing down dramatically. There's been a real challenge for the automakers, and I'd hate to be in their business right now. EV sales peaked about 8.1% of market. They're trending down. They're about 8% now. They may drop to 7.9%. This is a real challenge because they're being pushed to sell electric vehicles, and the consumer is not wanting them. So inventories are going up, discounts are increasing, which is great for buyers, but it's not great for factory workers, and all of them are announcing slowdowns in hiring. Some of them have deferred plants, and so it looks like that big auto industry may be a real problem in terms of employment going forward. Some consumer delinquency numbers are ticking up. Unemployment has trended up. It's 4.3% right now, so it's on the upslope. And so the Fed's fear is that we'll get into more unemployment, and they feel like if they haven't beaten inflation, they're pretty close. So I think on balance, with the exception of one Fed governor, they thought, well, let's do 50, and maybe that will help us head off a recession and avoid more unemployment.
But the conversation is not over, right? Because there's talk of a 25 basis point for the remaining each of the remaining two meetings this year in 2024.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. The conversation never ends. I mean, ideally, the Fed wants to get to that magic point where you have a neutral rate that's not stimulating the economy and not shrinking the economy. They don't know where that's going to go. And the Fed is only part of the economy. They're not the biggest part. We talk about them a lot, but the biggest part is the consumer and then just the fundamental economic health of the U.S. And there are a lot of concerns going forward that there may be more trouble underneath in terms of the fundamental strength. Now, the good thing is we're by far the strongest economy in the world right now. And it's an unusual time. China is absolutely, you know, in the toilet. They're having a terrible economic season right now. Europe is not doing much better. And so we are by far the cleanest dirty shirt. And the Fed wants to maintain that, and rightfully so. And I think, you know, everybody does want to have the U.S. be the best economy. But there are a lot of fundamental challenges. The fiscal challenge is going on. We have a presidential campaign going on with uncertain outcomes depending on who takes over. So the Fed's really anxiously watching what happens. They're not going to get involved in the politics of the election, but they will have to respond based upon whoever gets elected and whatever economic plans are put forth.
Let's pivot to housing. You and I have talked about this a lot. A lot of folks are very curious of the impact on housing. I would remind folks that the mortgage rates got as low as 3% during 2020 and 2021. At the present time, I think where they before this cut, they were over six percent. Yeah, about 6.2%, if my memory serves me correct. Folks believe that this rate will drop these rates down to, what, 5.5, somewhere around there, I guess. Your feeling on that, Guy?
They do, and it's interesting because if we were in a normal cycle, they would. And the reason I say that is over the long run, if you take the 10-year Treasury and add 1.7%, that's generally your 30-year mortgage. The 10-year Treasury right now is 3.7. You add 1.7 to that, and you get 5.4. So you would think, okay, 5.5, 5.4, that should be the rate right now. The challenge is the Fed doesn't control the long-term rates, and they don't control expectations. And what mortgage buyers are saying is, we believe you're going to push the short-term rate down. We see that, and we have confidence you'll keep doing it. But we don't believe you can push the long-term rate down because the long-term expectation is for more inflation and more bonds to be issued. And it's a classic supply-demand dilemma. If you're issuing too many bonds, then you're going to have to pay more for the bonds. So the mortgage rate normally would be 5.4, 5.5 with the 10-year Treasury where it is. But bond buyers are saying, you know, we don't know that that's a sensible rate for us to invest for 30 years. And that's a challenge that the Fed can't overcome. They need help from the administration and from Congress in order to restore faith in the long run.
There's also this question, you know, does a lower rate actually make it easier to buy a home? I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting because the dynamic is you bring, with lower rates, you bring more homeowners or more home buyers to the market, right? And you get into the whole supply versus demand thing. You increase demand. If the supply's not there, what happens? House prices goes up, correct?
Yeah, and we're in a very difficult time right now. If you go back before the financial crisis of 2008, mortgage rates were in the six, and we had a great mortgage market. I mean, houses were readily available. People were buying and selling. There was a lot of demand and a lot of supply. Since then, we've run into a number of problems. The most significant is we're not building enough homes in America to meet demand. And a lot of that is due to zoning requirements, due to additional regulatory review. And so it's difficult for builders to build as many homes as people want. And as long as you don't have that increased supply, prices will stay up. And the mortgage rate is only one part of the equation for a home buyer. You also have to add insurance, and that is certainly not going down. That's gone up all over America, certainly in the hurricane zone, but also in the fire zone, the earthquake zone, you know, any other risk area you want to pick. And the fundamental cost to build a house has not gone down and is not likely to, because labor costs have gone up and supply costs have gone up. The raw materials that go into building a house are more expensive now than they were 4 years ago. So the chances of a housing boom just because rates are a bit lower, I think, is unlikely. I think we'll see a better housing market, but we need a lot of changes on the supply side in order to make a really sound and good market and to make it affordable for particularly first-time home buyers to get into a house.
And it's interesting dynamic as to whether or not this 50 and another 25 and another 50 before the end of the year is actually going to be enough to really stimulate folks to go out and start building starter homes, right? Developers.
Well, and the challenge is, once again, that the Fed can reduce short-term rates. The 10-year rate may not go down. The 30-year rate barely budged when the Fed moved rates down 50 basis points. It only changed about 10 basis points. So if bond buyers don't trust that the U.S. has its fiscal house in order, then the long rates will not go down. And even though the rate for a construction loan for a home builder may be lower, the 30-year mortgage rate is probably somewhere close to about as low as it's going to get. Probably will end up somewhere between 5.5 and 6, but it's not going to get back into the 2s and 3s. There's not a scenario other than a very deep recession or some sort of global crisis that pushes rates down to what were unprecedented low levels that they're just unlikely to come back.
Guy, I guess is there like a psychology to this? You know, I'm sitting here, you know, regular Joe's in a home. Maybe is not their dream home. It's an intermediate home, but he's got a 3.1, 3.2% mortgage. And his dream home comes available, and it's looming out there at 5.2 to 5.5. I got to imagine many folks kind of look at that and say, why do I want to go pay more interest, pay more for the home and go pay more interest on the home at this point in time, if they're just not really feeling rock solid about the economy?
Well, and you raise an interesting point, because one of the reasons home building is so important to the economy is there's never a time in your life when you'll spend more money than when you buy a house, because when you buy a house, then you have to buy drapes and, you know, all the things that decorate a house. Your furniture doesn't fit from the old house to the new typically. You may need new lawn stuff. So there are a tremendous number of expenses, and somebody on the fence is going to look at all those new expenses and say, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And then the insurance burden is a challenge. The property tax burden, you know, we have relatively low property taxes, but in some of the fast-growing states like Texas and Florida, they have very high property taxes. So you're going to face a higher tax. And it has the effect of freezing people in place, which is very unfortunate for the U.S. economy, because traditionally one of the great strengths of our economy was that people would move for a better job. So there was this natural ebb and flow. As jobs increased in one area, people would move to that area and fill those jobs. We're not seeing that as much as we used to, and that really is a problem in economic flexibility. And that's one of the strengths that we used to have that we don't have as much as we did in days past.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's flip and pivot real next to probably one equally as important for the consumer credit. Do we see anything, significant improvement there as a result of this first 50 and maybe another 50 before January?
No. And unfortunately, with the best of intentions, our government makes it very difficult to lend to consumers. We have the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that is really, really difficult to deal with. And they force lenders to have a uniform model, basically a formula model of how you're going to lend. And based on that model, it's hard to make exceptions and help people that you think, okay, they want to take a chance on them. So we have some regulatory burdens to increase consumer lending. You also have a trend right now. Consumer delinquency is trending up. Consumers not looking as strong as they did just a few months ago. So you have higher delinquency. So when banks factor in the delinquency trend into the risk models, they're not going to extend credit as much as they might have. And then there's also talk, and we have this always in the political season, of rate caps on consumer lending. Well, if there's a rate cap, then marginal borrowers aren't going to get credit. So lenders are looking at that very carefully and saying, I don't really want to get into consumer lending if I might be stuck with a rate cap at some point. So we're doing a lot of things that make it more challenging for the consumer to borrow. And finally, credit cards are almost completely disconnected from prime rate. They just almost never go down. So anyone who has a credit card, if you look at that annual percentage, it just is very sticky. Whatever rate it is, it tends to stay at that rate. And then if you miss a few payments, it actually goes up. But it's very, very slow to come down. So with the exception of auto loans, you're really not likely to see much in the way of a discount in rates. And the auto loans are going to be due to lower cost and also to the manufacturers kicking in money because they have too much inventory right now.
And, Guy, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer on this, but, you know, I'm listening to all the talking heads that are talking about this rate reduction and how much of a stimulus it's going to be to the economy. And you know, and I go to folks like you and others, and you get a more realistic perspective of what this actually means and what it could potentially mean, but not necessarily saying this is the path that we're going. But when you're hearing, you know, all of these candidates talking about this, that, and otherwise, I mean, the picture's so rosy, I feel like I just hit the lottery. And the intellectual side of my head is telling me this is BS in many respects. Your thoughts?
Well, it just reminds me, we had a particularly ill-timed G&O Inc. meeting where right before COVID, our slogan was the future is so bright you need to wear sunglasses. And we passed out sunglasses, and then COVID occurred. So, yeah, you have to be careful when you're looking at that bright future. One of the challenges is that lower rates are good for some people, bad for others. For people that are savers, now you're getting a lower rate on CDs. And, you know, as a bank, we encouraged people all of last year to go long, to buy longer-term CDs, to ladder their maturities so they had something that was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years long. But consumers really dislike long-term investments, and the vast majority of consumers kept their CD investments short. They're actually going to see a decrease in income now. So there's a positive for some folks, but there's a negative for other folks, and people on fixed incomes that had CDs are going to see a decline in rates. The other thing is, if you listen carefully, the reason the Fed cut rates 50 basis points is that they're nervous about the job market. They feel that the risk is greater to higher unemployment than to high inflation, which means people should rightfully be a little bit nervous about jobs, if not your job, somebody else's, that could cut consumer spending. So yeah, there's some positives to lower rates. It'd be great to get back to where inflation's under control and we don't have to throttle the economy. But there are also some negatives as we begin to lower rates.
And it was also the first time that the Fed, that I've heard in a long time, kind of made the point where a good, sound immigration policy is important. That what has happened over the last 3 years has been problematic and has been contributing to this job and number of folks imbalance that we have at the present time.
Well, it really is true. And one of the really unfortunate things is because of our slow birth rate in the U.S., we absolutely need immigrants. We have a tremendous need for more people to come. And the great thing is people want to come. The unfortunate thing is we're not managing that process well. We need to let people in. I mean, go back to effectively an Ellis Island thing. On my mom's family, they came through Ellis Island, and that was that was just the way people came in. You went through a process, you got approved, and then you worked in America somewhere. There are people all over the world that would really contribute to our economy that we'd love to let in, but we've got it messed up right now, and we need to sort that out. We also are missing an opportunity. There is a spectacular chance to really hurt Vladimir Putin, and that would be to let all of the skilled Russians, the engineers, the physicians, the doctors, the nurses, the truck drivers, the anybody that has a job and has some skills in Russia that wants to leave, we ought to say, come on down. It would simultaneously help us and hurt them. And it's risk-free. It's painless. But
yep.
What we have now is just disorganized, and there really is so much room for improvement. I hope we'll get that done once the political season is over.
Yeah, hope springs eternal sometimes, for sure. I'm not so bullish on that happening. It's become a political football that nobody wants to touch any longer. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the Boeing strike update and the implications of this. Could be huge. Stay with us.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.